Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Father, we thank you that we can come together to not only remember, but we also come together to look forward to the return of Jesus. And so, Father, this morning we commit to you our time together as a family, Lord God. May you speak to us. May we hear from you right where we are in our life, in the midst of what we are walking through as an individual, as a son or a daughter, as a family. Help us to hear from you this morning. May you, your spirit have his way in us. We thank you in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. And all the mighty saints say, amen. Amen. Why don't you say hi to someone before you sit down? Hi. So good to see you all here this morning. Thank you for choosing to be with us here this morning. And so we're going through a series at the moment. And our series is called Gone Fishing. Everyone say, Gone Fishing. Yes. And so in our series, we're looking at these four movements that flow through the whole Bible. Okay, so we're looking at creation, the fall, redemption, and then restoration. And so today we're focusing on redemption. One definition of this word redemption is that it's the act of being saved or rescued from a difficult or undesirable situation. Now, it can be the process as well of being delivered or freed from something, from sin or from suffering, and restored to a state of wholeness, restored back to a state of original intention. And so being Resurrection Sunday, we are going to be looking at three perspectives. Okay, you want to say three perspectives. Okay, so I'm going to be talking to you and I'm going to need you to talk back to me because some people have eaten too much chocolate and hot cross buns, and so we've got to keep you awake, okay? So three perspectives. And so the perspectives of people that witnessed the burial and resurrection of Jesus. And we're going to be looking at three ways in which these people responded to what was before them. And so the first one we're going to be looking at is Joseph of Arimathea. The second person or the group of people we're going to be looking at is the women. And then the third one is the apostles. And so the title of my message this morning is Had, Seen, Heard. Everyone say, Had, Seen, Heard. All right. So at the end of Luke 23, it covers the death of Jesus. And so Luke talks about this man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. And this man, Joseph, he's known as a good and upright man. And he's a member of the Sanhedrin. And so this is the council that instigated and supported the death, the crucifixion of Jesus. So he's part of that group of people. But it says that Joseph did not consent to their decision. And so it gives this impression that maybe he was not present when this happened, when this unfolded. Because in Mark 14:64, it says that the decision was supported by all of the Sanhedrin that were there at that moment. So after the death of Jesus on the cross, when he proclaimed the words, "It is finished," Joseph was the one that requests the body of Jesus from Pilate. And because because he's on the Sanhedrin, he has this authority to request this. And so the timing of all this is happening is around 3 p.m. in the afternoon on a Friday. Sabbath for the Jews begins at 6 p.m. on Friday, and it ends on 6 p.m. Saturday night. And so Joseph is very aware of the time constraints, because in Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 to 23, it says this: "And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he is to be put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day. For a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. And so Jesus has been committed of a crime. And this resulted on him being put to death, to be hung on a cross, to be hung on a tree. And so his body has to be brought down on that same day as this law is specifying, especially as it's leading into Sabbath. And so this is the law that Joseph is trying to honor. This is the law that Joseph is trying to abide by. Because normally the Jews, what they'll do with criminals, common criminals, is just bury them outside of the city. And that was it. But with Jesus' body, it's different. He's treated differently. Because he wasn't a criminal, though he was treated like one. So because of this short amount of time before the Sabbath, there's very minimal things that can be done to prepare the body of Jesus. And so Joseph wraps the body of Jesus in this linen cloth, and then he places him in a tomb. And this is where we're picking up from our reading today in verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They, the women, this is the women here. They're going to the tomb. The first day of the week is Sunday morning. Welcome to Sunday morning. So the women decide to go very early in the morning to the tomb to finish preparing the body of Jesus for burial. And that's why they have spices. It's for part of the embalming process that they need to do, right? Because Jesus has just been wrapped in this linen cloth on Friday, right? And so they're going to finish this job. Let's look at Joseph a little bit more. So he's this man he stood for what was right. He was from Arimathea. And so Arimathea, they think it's like one of the local towns around Jerusalem. And so he secretly follows Jesus because he's part of the Sanhedrin, this council of religious leaders. But he secretly follows Jesus. In John 19:38, it says that he was a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared his fellow councilmen, the other Jewish leaders. And so he was a wealthy man. Joseph was a very wealthy and influential man. Because only rich people would have access to a tomb right, you know, there, straight away. And so he has resources. He has authority. I want us also to see that Joseph is generous and bold. He uses his resources to honor God. And his boldness is reflected in him going and approaching Pilate and requesting the body of Jesus. He's generous. This was a new tomb. This is probably a tomb that Joseph had brought for him and his family, right? For when the time came for him and his family to be laid to rest, that they would be put into this tomb. So no one has laid in this tomb. It's a brand new one. Joseph brought it for him and his family. But he lays Jesus in this tomb. Up until this point, Joseph has been this secret disciple of Jesus, right? But now everybody's going to know that he believed in Jesus because he's asked for the body of Jesus. He takes down the body of Jesus from that cross. Being a secret disciple of Jesus is like having a superhero identity, right? Who likes superheroes, right? Superhero identity? Yeah, nudge, nudge. Is there a Superman next to you? Uh-huh. Or is it Wonder Woman? right? Okay. So the superhero identity. You go to work, you hang out with your friends, but Sunday comes, then you switch it to church mode. Right? You go to church mode. You sneak into your local church. It's like a ninja, right? You come into church and you have like secret conversations about the Bible verses. You sing songs, right? And you read stuff from this book, right? You're reading stuff from this book. You hear messages. But your co-workers, they don't have a clue that you're a follower of Jesus. They don't know the secret life that you live. But like, just like Superman uses his powers to save the day, Jesus' redemption is not meant to be kept a secret. What Jesus did for us is not something that we should keep undercover. We should let people know about it. It's a gift that is meant to be shared with others. And one day, you might just reveal your true identity around your friends, right? They might see you as, hey, are you a follower of Jesus? And this may start the journey for them towards knowing Jesus. No one here's like that, eh? No secret agents around here. So this is the first perspective. Joseph of Arimathea. And so Joseph's response, was that he was faithful with what he had. Everyone say, what he had. His resources he had. He was faithful with that. He used what he had to bless Jesus, even to honor Jesus, even on his death. How can you, how can we be faithful with what Jesus has given us? How can we be faithful with what Jesus has entrusted to each and every one of us? Now, the second perspective that I want us to look at is the one of the women. Okay? Any women in this place? Can I hear a woman? Yeah. Oh, woo, woo. Three women. Okay. So the response of the women is this, okay? This is the response of the women. The women were faithful with what they seen, okay? What they seen. Everyone say, what they seen. Okay, so in verse 2, it says this, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And so the women, they followed Joseph. They follow him from the time that he takes down Jesus' body, and they follow him to where he takes Jesus and he places him in the tomb. So they see this. This is the woman following the body of Jesus. And so when they come back on the first day, because they know Sabbath is coming, and so they think, okay, we can't do much else. So we'll go home and we'll Sabbath. Okay, we're going to go home and we're going to rest. But then Sunday morning, we're coming back here and we're going to finish this off. And so they come back on the first day of the week. And the first thing they see is the stone is rolled away. And the women are probably looking at it and like, there's something wrong with this picture. Because the stone shouldn't be open like that. It should be covering the doorway. The way that the tombs were designed in this time is that you see that doorway. There's a doorway there, and that's where you enter in. And so inside of there, there's like this bench or a couple of benches, and that's where people would lay the bodies of their loved ones on there. And then that disc, that large round disc just to the right of it, that's rolled over the doorway. It's like to stop any animals from getting in. Any people from getting in, but maybe it's to stop people from getting out from the inside. The stone has been rolled away. And so the women, they go in. And there's no sign of the body of Jesus. They just see this linen cloth on this bench. And they're like, where's Jesus? Where's the body of Jesus? And then two men standing next to them in this dazzling apparel. It's like trying to look up at the sun. You know, have you tried to look up at the sun? You kind of like, you know, you can't completely look into it. It's like, oh my gosh, you have to cover your eyes. That was the response of these women. They were frightened by this sight of bright light in this dark tomb that they were in. And it says in verse 5, and as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? You know, isn't it interesting that at the birth of Jesus, angels announced his arrival, right? In Luke chapter 2, it tells us this. And then here, there are these angels announcing the resurrection of Jesus, right? This Jesus must have been someone pretty important that angels are announcing him, right? And there's even more further contrast that when, at the birth of Jesus, the announcement was to some shepherds. Shepherds, lowly, you know, humble people. These are like, you know, shepherds are like, pat down here. But then here at the announcement of the resurrection of Jesus, it's to women. And women at that time, they were pretty unimportant as well. They were seen as often marginalized in that society. That's how they were looked upon. But yet, this is being revealed to them. God's kingdom is nothing like what we expect. In fact, it can be very opposite to human thinking. Women have played a major role in God's kingdom, right? We can think of women like Esther, Ruth, Deborah in the Old Testament. And then there is, in this moment, it's Mary Magdalene, it's Joanna, it's Mary, the mother of James, and others. These women specifically displayed this unique faithfulness of devotion towards Jesus. You know, for me, I was thinking about this. Where are the disciples? I would have expected the disciples to have been first on site, you know, to the tomb of Jesus. I would have thought they should have been there. But they're not. It's the women. The disciples have been scattered. The disciples have been frightened. They ran away. They had been disappointed because what they thought Jesus would do didn't end out the way that they were expecting. Jesus was supposed to be the king, the one who was supposed to lead them to free them from the Roman Empire. But now he's dead. What good is a king that is dead to us? And so these are the things that are going through the disciples' head. They're like lost, confused. They're like, oh my gosh, all this time I spent with this guy and he dies on us. Right? But the women still turn up. Despite the danger and potential opposition from authorities and people's ridicule, the women still go to the tomb. They go there with the intention of honoring and caring for Jesus' body. They demonstrated this deep love and devotion to Jesus. Even in the face of great disappointment, even in the face of grief, difficulty, and confusion. Now, I'll talk to the brothers here, okay? Brothers, don't worry, you've got big shoulders, you can handle this. Okay, so what are you like? What are we like when challenges happen in our marriages, in our families, with our kids, in our marriages, with our kids, with our kids, with our kids? You get it? What happens to us? What do we usually respond? Do we go to Jesus? Do we come before Jesus and we ask God, help me in this situation? Or are we like, nah, I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered with these children. You deal with them. And so our wives can be the ones that are trying to navigate those situations because we as men can't step up and you know, deal with it. Is that just me? Is it anyone else similar to that? Preach it. One of the sisters just spoke there. Brothers, we're pretty quiet in here, bros. Come on. But the women have this way of fighting through stuff. Get to Jesus. They have this devotion towards fighting towards Jesus. No matter how hard it gets, no matter if he's not coming, I'm still going. Brothers, where we at? Where we at? This demonstration of this deep love and devotion to Jesus. That's the woman. And so here's the question for us. What is our level of love and devotion for Jesus? Now this is all of us, okay? What is our level of love and devotion for Jesus? Is there this deep sense of love? Is there this deep sense of commitment? Is there this devotion to Jesus to change us, to change our hearts, to transform us from the inside out? Is there that type of commitment from us? Do we go through, do we fight through the difficulties and challenges of life to get to Jesus? Or do we just give up when it gets hard? There was this moment in our family a couple weeks ago. Okay, don't tell Helen, okay? So, our beautiful, you know, they were like having one of those moments, you know, how brothers and sisters really get along and then it started into like a physical one, you know, smack me, I'll smack you, smack me, I'll smack you, right? This back and forth. And I was like, I'm really tired right now. And if I raise my voice, someone's going to cry. Okay? And I raised my voice. Can you guys just stop it? No one here does that, right? You guys don't yell at your kids. Hey, you are holy people. I need to hang around with you guys. So I raised my voice at my kids. And you know, when I raised them, my kids are like, look at me like, I was like, go to your rooms. Get out of here. Just go. And when they go to their rooms, I'm like, oh. And obviously my wife, because she's in another part of the country, she hears my voice. And so she comes out, and you hun? I said, yeah, it's your kids, right? Funny how we blame it's your kids. It takes two to tango, right? But it's your kids. They're driving me nuts. Honest, this is your pastor here. He's like, dude, need some time with Jesus. I'm working on it, all right? And so we were talking about this. And I tell her, man, you need to deal with your kids. And I just walked away. I just, you know, funny in those moments, we can't see Jesus, right? Isn't that funny? We can't see Jesus. Our wives are trying to, hun, just calm down. Let's pray. And all I see is red. Right? It's like, ah, fire, burning, ah, right? And my wife is like, hun, just calm down. Say, nah, I can't. Just deal with it. Anyone here like that? Nah. Okay. You should come in, pastor. I'll sit down here and here. But isn't that reality of life, right? How we walk through stuff, how we respond to stuff, how we respond to situations in our families, right? we can respond in a calm way. There is 50 million other ways that I could have responded. But no, I let that side of me, that part of me come out. The taika, rah, right? He came out. But I could have chosen a different way. I could have chosen the path of Jesus. Just relax, Henry. Take a breather. Right? Don't be stressed. We're trying to figure that out in each of our lives. It's part of the journey that we go through. And it comes through when we're sitting with Jesus, opening up those parts of our heart to Him. Opening up those parts that we're like, oh God, this part is really hard. I struggle with my kids. You don't struggle with me, eh, God? I'm perfect, right? We miss that part, that we're a son, we're a daughter of the King. You think we may be doing it in God's head? I think so, right? But how are we approaching those situations? The example of these women should challenge us all to live lives that are devoted to Jesus, to seek Him with persistence and determination, right? Requires us to calm those emotions down. Take a chill pill, bro, right? Just relax. Breathe. And try and listen. Listen for that voice. It might be your wife's voice. Listen. Sometimes our ears are like, no, no, not right now. But most importantly, is to boldly share the good news of the gospel with those around us. What sort of gospel are we saying to our kids when we respond like that? Have you thought about that? When you, what are you doing? Oh, is that how the gospel looks like? Aren't you the pastor? Oh, yeah, your pastor's got some stuff with him. Yeah. Verse 5. Here we go. Verse 5. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? This is such a good question from the angels, right? It's a valid question. It's like, you think about this, it's like looking for your car keys in the refrigerator. Unless you intentionally put your car keys in the refrigerator, of course, but it's weird. Why? It's like, why would the car keys be in the refrigerator? Why are you coming to looking for someone who's alive in someplace that is dead? Why are you coming here for this? Jesus is not among the dead. He's alive. He's resurrected. That's what we're celebrating today. Jesus is alive. He's not in a tomb. He's not in a grave. He is risen. His body is not lying in the ground somewhere. He is risen, right? It's the resurrected Jesus. He's alive. He's victorious. And it's a reminder for us as well to not go searching for life, for hope, for purpose in dead-end places like worldly pursuits or empty traditions or religious acts or temporary achievements. All that stuff is dead. It's dead. It will be good for a season, but it all ends up being dead. Instead, let's seek the living Jesus in the vibrant, life-giving relationship that we get to have with Him. He's alive. And He's ready to transform our lives with His resurrection power. This means encountering Him in Spirit-led worship, in prayer, in the reading and studying of God's Word, in fellowship with other believers like this environment, and in serving others and in witnessing to others. When we seek Jesus in these ways, we open ourselves up to experiencing His resurrection power and the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Verse 6, He is not here, but has risen. Remember how He told you while He was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. So the angel here, they're reminding the woman about what Jesus said to them when He was alive in Galilee. Jesus said that He must be delivered. He must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified. Then on the third day, He will rise. Today is the third day. And today we remember this, that He is risen. Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus defeated death. In verse 8, and they remembered His words. They remembered His words. The woman here displayed this powerful moment of remembering and reflecting on Jesus' words. Could you imagine the thoughts and emotions that were going through these women, right? As they were thinking back to Jesus' words. Oh yeah, that's right, He did say that to us. He said that He would be delivered into sinful men, into the hands of these sinful men. And He said that 3 days later He would rise again. And here we are in this tomb and He's not here. So, is He risen? Is He alive? Remembering Jesus' words reminds us of the importance of knowing and meditating on God's Word. It can bring us comfort and guidance and encouragement into our lives, and especially in those times when we are stressed, or times when we're feeling doubt, or in times when we're feeling fear. If we have the Word of God, as it says in His Word, hidden in our hearts, right? When it's embedded in our hearts, then when those times come, we can tap into those words. They're there. We know what they're like. We know what they can do. So instead of believing this, let's counter it with this. Let's believe in what the Word of God says. But if we don't know what His Word says, then that's not there. And so all we're going to focus on is, I'm feeling bad about this. I'm finding it hard to struggle in this. But there's nothing to counter those thoughts. There's nothing to pull into. There's nothing to stand upon. And that's the whole idea of getting the Word into us. So that in those moments, God, what does Your Word say? It says to stand upon Your Word. Do we remember? Do we remember God's Word? When we reflect on God's promises and His faithfulness in the past, this can be a source of strength in our faith today, right? And it can give us encouragement for today, but also hope for the future. Amen? Jesus is alive. So we've heard the response of women, and they're faithful with what they had seen, right? And we've heard the response of Joseph of Arimathea as he was faithful with what he had, the resources that he had. Now, our final perspective that we're going to be looking at this morning is this one. It's the apostles. And remember, there's only 11 of them now, because one betrayed him. So he's gone. So there's 11 left. And so we're going to look at their lack of faith with what they heard. This is the disciples. In verse 9. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman who were with them, who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. So here are the women. They're reporting this to the apostles. They're telling them what they've seen, what they saw at the tomb. But the response of the apostles is disbelief. There's even a hint of maybe sarcasm. Oh, right. Right? It sounded like to them it was like a made-up story. And I was thinking about this, and so maybe the response of these apostles, right? Maybe their response was because, you know, these guys are, they're supposed to be the closest ones to Jesus. They spent the most time with Jesus, and yet when these women bring this testimony of what's happened, this report of what they have seen, they're like, nah, that isn't how the story goes. It doesn't go like that. It wasn't supposed to happen like that. Now, there could be a couple of things that could be playing into their response of these apostles. Firstly, it could be culturally, okay? Because, like I said at the beginning, right? In this culture, women's testimony, the woman's testimony was not trusted. It was seen as not a reliable source at that time. Wow. But the angels revealed it. Jesus reveals his resurrection to them, to the women. So maybe the apostles, they're just products of their culture, of their cultural norms, right? What's happening around them. Maybe they're just responding out of the way that society has formed them, right? The perspectives that they are seeing. If we look at some of the things that are happening around us, we too can be easily caught up in society's ways, right? What's happening around, you know, how society may view a particular event or a subject or whatever may be happening around us. We may take on the world's view, but do we know what God's word says about that? Do we know what God's word says? Secondly, it may be because there was such a state of, you know, these apostles, they were the closest guys to Jesus. And so they may be in a place of shock and disbelief. And so maybe this was a response out of their grieving for the death of Jesus. So the news of Jesus' resurrection would have been totally unexpected. These guys wouldn't have thought that. Resurrected? Nah. Nah. Maybe the woman's testimony seemed too impossible and difficult to accept in the midst of their grief and confusion. But didn't Jesus raise some people from the dead? Right? He raised 3 people from the dead. Jairus' daughter, a widow's son, and his good friend Lazarus. So they had seen that stuff. But in the moment that they're in, right there and then, they don't see it, right? It's like me seeing just red. Right? The apostles didn't believe in what they heard from the testimony of the women. Their lack of faith in what they heard from these sisters. So, this is our final thing. I think this is like a reminder of us, a reminder to us of something that's very important. And this is this. We all still have areas of unbelief in our own hearts. These were the guys who hung out with Jesus the most, and yet they doubt what they are hearing from these women. I think we all have those areas in us, areas of unbelief, areas that we're not sure of about God, areas that we may not let God come into. So what's your response going to be this morning? This Resurrection Sunday? Are you going to be faithful with what you have? with the resources that God has entrusted to you? Are you going to be faithful with what you have seen? Are you going to respond with what we have seen this morning from the Word of God? Are you going to respond in faith with what you have heard this morning? Are you going to respond to the invitation that Jesus has made available through His death, burial, and resurrection? And that invitation is to follow Him. Resurrection Sunday is a new Sunday. And it can be a new Sunday for you, a new beginning for you as well, if you've never made that decision to follow Jesus. So, if I can invite you all to just close your eyes. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word as you have spoken to each and every one of us. Lord God, Father, we thank you for the journey that we have seen in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This morning, Lord God, this resurrection morning, Father, we ask that we know that you are doing something in each and every one of us. You're speaking to us right where we are. Maybe you're showing us things in our own lives, things in our mind, things of our thoughts. Maybe it's in our relationships, some relationships that we may have, Lord God. Maybe it's in some situations at work or in the classroom or wherever you place us, Lord God. But there are these things that you've brought to our attention and you want to restore us. You want to heal us. You want to set us free from these things. And so this morning, Father, we ask that you would have your way, that you would come and deal with each and every one of us right where we are. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you've never made the decision to follow Jesus before, and maybe you've heard this message this morning and you're sensing that I want this day to be a resurrection day for me. I want this day to be a new day for me. I want this day to be a new start for me today in this resurrection Sunday. Don't worry about what you did yesterday. Don't worry about what you did before you walked in through the door. Don't worry about what you did last week. It's about what you decide here and now. And so if that is you, if you've sensed in your heart that I want to make a commitment to follow Jesus today, I want to know more about Jesus this morning, and then I would love to pray for you. And so if that is you, that you want to receive Jesus this morning, or if you want to make a recommitment back to Jesus, maybe you've been living life, maybe you've been just going through the motions in your life, and you're just feeling this sense of like, doesn't feel like Jesus is with me. Doesn't feel like I'm different. Doesn't feel like that I'm living in the way that may be pleasing to God. And if that is you, maybe that is a moment for you to reconnect back to God. And I want to invite you also. And so if you want to receive Jesus for the first time or rededicate your life to Jesus this morning, I want to give you that invitation right now. So if that is you, with every eye closed, every head bowed, if that is you, just wave your hand at me and I'll love to pray with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. Father, we thank you for these ones that have raised their hands towards you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, you see the hearts of my brothers and sisters who are putting up their hands towards you, Lord God. It's not towards me. It's not towards this church. It's towards you. And so, Father, as you have spoken, we pray for your covering. We pray for your protection upon them. And so I pray right now, Lord God, that as they have made this commitment to follow you, to rededicate their life to you, that you would bring people around to walk with them, to support them in this journey. So, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We honor you in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. And all the mighty saints say, Amen, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.